Well, morning, friends. How's everyone doing this morning? Welcome to Healing Class. We're going to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to do a quick recap for those of us who were not here last week as to what we touched on, and we're going to continue along those lines on a slightly different trajectory, but same word. Amen? God's word, all right, which is prime, which is principle, which is the principal thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many are expectant in this room this morning? Ready and set. And as we continue on, I want us to carry that awareness and consciousness that God is here. God is here. Father, just thank you. I glorify your holy name. I give you praise. Thank you for your power and your presence in this place this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the truth and the reality of who you are and all that you've done in and through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing made sure as by the cross. Thank you, Father, for our hearts being steeped in the truth concerning the finished work of the cross. Thank you, Lord, even for manifestation of healing in our bodies, in our hearts, evident in our experience, Father, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord. Words are not enough to express our attitude of gratitude and just how thankful we are for all that you've done. We give you praise, Lord, even for the reality of such great deliverance made evident in our very lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory which is ours in Christ. And we give you praise, Lord, for walking triumphantly in these present truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's Healing Class. Friends, last week we touched on the subject, faith in motion. Faith in motion. And we started off looking at Mark and chapter 2. From verse 1, and when we got to verse 5, it says something in there that when Jesus saw their faith, this is about the man who was carried by four friends through the press, up on the roof in the building, and then down through a space that was created there. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, and so last week we considered the fact that faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. And what aids this, what helps this, what carries this along is the expression. And so for that expression, we considered a couple of ways in which faith can be seen. And we looked at Hebrews in chapter 11. We can turn there at this time. Quick recap here at this point. Alan, please, if you would. Sir, just could you help with the door, please? Completely, since we're just... Please. Thank you. All right. We looked at faith. We looked at a couple of definitions from faith. We were at Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. By faith, it says, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And so, we saw clearly by faith, understanding comes. And how does this understanding come? By or through the word of God. So, faith brings about understanding. Understanding is anchored on God's word. God's word is what brings this to our hearts, that fleshes out, makes it clear. So, faith based on understanding is evident by words spoken. So, and then we ask the question, what are we speaking? What are the words that we're speaking? What are the things coming out from our mouth? Does it evoke faith? Does it line up with faith? And is that faith based on the revelation of God's word? Can your faith be seen by the words which you speak? Okay? And then we ask the question, what are the words that you're proclaiming with your mouth? Does it tell you God's word? And we looked at scriptures, whether we're talking about express scriptures, we touch on healing, or things that have become the word, which has become conviction in our hearts by which we stand by, which we live by, and are not in doubt of or concerning. So it's unshakable. Okay? Conviction in our hearts. All right. The second aspect, which we didn't touch on extensively, verse 4, Hebrews 11, 4, says, by faith, Abel offered up a sacrifice, offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So by faith, he did what? He offered up. And that brings about the idea and the picture of what? Action. So faith, one, in speaking through speaking, and secondly, by action. What is the action that you, for example, are taking today relation to a challenge which you may be facing health-wise or as concerns a health condition, that does what? Tallies with faith. Faith can be seen through what? Action. When Jesus saw the length that those guys had gone through in getting the man, the paralytic, through across to him into his very presence, Bible says he saw, what did he see? What did he see? He saw their faith. So, faith in action. Faith in motion. What's the Spirit, Holy Spirit, saying? How is he leading concerning that matter? There's a pain. Or there's something that I'm feeling, there's a challenge in my body, or there's something that, probably over time has plagued me. And then what's the action? Remember, I'm saying, maybe it's high blood pressure. And then based on leading, based on my interaction with God, the Holy Spirit, how is he leading in your walk? What is he saying to you? How do you stand? Is it a feverish condition? Is it whatever it is? What's that infirmity? Do I just choose someone? I believe someone mentioned last week, do I just lay in bed and just lay there and just, hang it out? Do I go on a stroll and pray in tongues some? Do I get in the word, sit on the chair on my desk and get into the, do I just praise him? Do I lie flat on my face? And what are you being led to do? What is that action that tallies with faith? Having said clearly, we're not supposed to, it's not a case of rehashing what it is based on the reports that have come in or what the doctor is saying or what the test result, brings to fore to say, to start not going over that over and over and over again, whether in our minds or in speaking or whatever it is, because what should come out from your lips, from your mouth, should tally with what?
God's word.
Should tally with God's word. Now, if God's word is not hidden in your heart, if it's not anchored in your heart, then there may be some difficulty and challenges in that. So what's he saying? How is he leading concerning that thing, that matter? Is he saying, go get tested? Is he saying, what is he saying? Are you listening? Are you hearing? And we can all hear, because guess what? We are his sheep, one. And we do what? We hear his voice clearly, John 10, 27. And so I don't want anyone in this room, because, this is healing class and this is House on the Rock Church, but you are his children, sons and daughters. You're in living relationship with the Father of Spirits, with God himself, and you hear him clearly. Say, I
hear him
clearly. Put down John 10, 27. We're not going to turn there because that's just an aside. But that should be your conviction. Lord, I know I hear you. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Do we give that time? Do we give that surrender? Do we give him that space? And then are we listening? Even in the place of prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's not just you spewing things out. You also must have that patience to be able to say, okay, Lord, speak. For your child is what? Listening. I'm saying that in context this way. All right. Praise God. Let's go back to Mark in chapter 2. Mark 2. This morning I want to teach, and this may be maybe slightly different, and that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and get into a teaching. Sir Jude, you had something?
Yes, in that verse, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice.
Yes.
Is it something else in addition to the action he took?
Yes.
He gave. Faith gives.
Amen.
I may not have all the answers to my prayer, but it doesn't stop me from helping somebody else.
Hallelujah.
The church, the people of God, the poor, even when I don't have enough myself, you give it in faith. That you, let's say it's money, you are lending money to the Lord, and he will not fail to give back to you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Faith gives.
It's the same thing when Abraham offered Isaac his son. He gave in faith. He knew that God is able to restore Isaac again.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because he believed. Because of the promise, and he was convinced that God was faithful to do exactly what, you know, what he said he would. He says, okay, if this is the one through whom the whole world will be blessed, then if he dies, one way or the other, he's going to do what? From the dead. Okay? Thank you, Jude. And so, by extension, which is an aspect we're going to look at in a couple of weeks here, is this. The practical, as far as what you have freely received. Based on teaching, based on your time here at House on the Rock Church and your time in the Word, in relationship with God, what we learn is not just for us to keep and to sit on. Guess what? There is that aspect. Freely you have received, freely you're going to do what? You're going to give. You're going to communicate that in the area of ministry to those who may be hurting, those who may be brokenhearted, those who may be sick or ill or infirm in their bodies. And key thing, a crucial aspect of that is not looking at ourselves and saying, oh, but I'm lacking in this area, but I've carried this high blood pressure for so many years. What gives me the right to be able to minister to someone else who's probably going through the same thing or maybe even something different, which I may think or in my contemplation may be worse. But the point is, who lives on the inside of you? What is that power and ability that dwells within? What is the right and the authority that you have as a child of the living God that is supposed to be expressed or lived out? And so, friends, we will see as we continue on that we're called to go beyond ourselves. In his ability, by his power, to minister life to others. Saved, unsaved, or I know there's nothing we can term as indifferent, but whoever, wherever is the point, as he leads. And this is a call, this is something that we're called to as his children. So given that which we have received. But in order to be able to give that, we must have a good underscore, a proper understanding, one of who we are, what we've been given, what we have received, so that we in turn are able to do what? Give to others, distribute to others, share to others, communicate to others in power. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Any questions before we transition? Okay, we're at Mark 2, Mark in chapter 2. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And so this morning, I want to emphasize a topic I titled Forgiven and Healed. Forgiven and Healed. Is there a relationship? Is there a correlation between forgiveness and healing?
Yes. it says.
Sorry?
It's what it says.
Is there one? Yes.
I think there is, because it has to do with worthiness. If you don't feel worthy to receive healing, it helps. You have to feel worthy in order to receive.
Can I get that again?
Mm-hmm. You have to feel worthy.
You have to feel worthy.
Forgiveness is huge.
Forgiveness is huge. That is an understanding of forgiveness. Is friends, kind of like you just summed it all up. Thank you so much. It's important. It's critical to understand the nature, the true nature of forgiveness, so that we can receive fully by way of manifestation and the aspect of manifestation, the healing which is ours already in Christ. There's understanding, there's recognition, there's appreciation for truth which needs to be in place or settled in our hearts. And this is important because, friends, it kind of touches on our perception, how we see ourselves. Do we see ourselves through the definition of the world, what we see based on situation and circumstances, or through the prism of God's word, how God sees us, based on what he's done.
So that's the link between where Jesus said that if you don't forgive other people's sins, yours won't be forgiven. If yours aren't forgiven, you're not going to get healed. You start by forgiving everybody else.
Yeah, and of course, within the context of him still walking under earth and teaching those who are listening and followers, that was what it was for them in that season. In that transition, based on, okay, I'm teaching you this. Forgive, 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 trying to emphasize the importance of it. And then this all culminated with what happened on what? On the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
To seal the deal, to bring forgiveness, true forgiveness to light in a total, and I was going to say holistic, in a total fashion, in a complete fashion. It's important to understand that. That's critical. That helps a great deal, tremendously, in the aspect of getting to see manifestation in our bodies, in our physical bodies, in our hearts, and in our minds. There was someone else had their hands up. Thank you. Thank you, Leah. All right, we're at Mark 2. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your what? Sins are what? Forgiven you. When he says Jesus said to them. Said to who? Friends, sometimes it's been pointed. Whose faith, let me put it this way. We've talked about faith in motion, faith in action. Whose faith was in view here?
The friends.
The friends?
Jesus saw their faith. Friends'
faith. Okay. Just the friends?
No. The paralytic.
Mm-hmm. How so?
He let these craziness friends tear up the, was it that? And the ceiling and things were flying and dust was flying and he was saying, I'm determined no matter what. I think.
Thank you. Thank you, Holly.
I know, he could have just been carried along. I mean, he was paralyzed, and he didn't really have any option. If they wanted to take him somewhere, they could take him. If you think about it, you know, we're going because we know Jesus can do this. So
okay. All right.
Get along for the ride.
Praise God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Well, here's something I want to share and you know, try and convey this morning. For me, personally, I don't believe that the paralytic was a bystander in this whole experience, this engagement. I don't think he was just, I don't think so. You know why, friends? Guess what? There was the press, right? The whole place, there was no room. There was no way through, right? You know how that thing of, it's possible to say, hey, you know what, guys? I'm sorry, we didn't make it today. We're going to have to try, try tomorrow, try some other time, whatnot. But then, Holly talked about something. What about that urging to say, hey, we've got to do this. And then we'll see towards the end something which took place based on the words that Jesus spoke, the action that the paralytic took as well. He didn't just jump up and then run out. There was an aspect of obedience, direct obedience to what Jesus said to him, spoke to him as we continue on. But I don't want to just jump there right now. But here's what I'm saying. When he said, Bible says, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. The friends, yes. I believe the man also, because he then went on to walk in obedience to the exact words to what Jesus told him. His heart had to have been involved. What does forgiveness, what does it mean to be forgiven? Son, your sins are forgiven you.
Freedom.
Freedom? Thank you, Leah.
Made pure.
Dave. Made pure. Gail?
The penalty of sins is removed.
Penalty of sin is removed?
Anew.
Sorry?
Anew.
Anew. Anew. Anew? Hallelujah. Anything else? Now, all the things that have been mentioned right now are possible because of the import, direct import or connotation of what the word forgiven means in the Greek. And that means, friends, to take away, to send forth from, to send away. To take away, because something needs to happen before it can be declared and said, whether within the new creation context, we'll touch on this later on. For you to say, oh, you're forgiven, something has to have occurred. Something has to have taken place as it concerns sins.
You're separated now.
To take away from you. It refers to sending away, to driving away. If we look at Psalm 103, put this down, please, because of time. Psalm 103, verse 12. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed what? Our transgressions from where? From us. A quotation from the old, referenced in the new, in the book of Hebrews, Jeremiah 31, 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all do what? Know me from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will do what? Remember no more. Yeah. Hebrews 8, 11 and 12. Hebrews 8, 11 and 12. So in this way, friends, Jesus dismissed the man's sins and freed him from the guilt of it. Someone mentioned that. Your sins are forgiven you. And guess what happened? Guess what happened in the immediate aftermath? The scribes had a major issue with that. The scribes had a major problem with that. How so? Verse 6, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Who?
Praise God.
Has the right? Who has the temerity? Who has the audacity? Who has the right to forgive sins other than who? Than God. Why this thinking or what they reason in their heart, why it's important, friends, is to know, it's good to have some background in that. Because for that day, majority of the Jews believed strongly that sickness and disease and whatnot that may afflict people came as by a direct result from sins or what? Sinning. So it's like, oh, that's the penalty for, oh, there's sin, definitely. Oh, yeah, you're not going to, you know, get away from that or escape that. Why does, verse 7, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but who? But God. Were they correct in their assessment?
Evidently not.
Sorry?
Evidently not. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, if you forgive a person's sins, they'll be forgiven. If you retain them, they'll be retained.
Concerning Jesus himself, who was speaking, thank you, who was speaking to them directly.
But he could be speaking as God, but he's also speaking as man, and we get to do that too.
Based on the life that we now have, which we'll get to, and the nature which we now possess. Yes.
Yeah, they didn't want to recognize that he could be God or the one who can forgive sin.
Yep, they because they just didn't believe in him. One, and then two, as God. They didn't understand that. They didn't appreciate that. As God. Bible reveals that Jesus, who himself being in very nature God, did not cling to his rights, did not cling to his authority. I'm talking about as a man now. He didn't hold on to, oh, this is my right, this is who I am, I'm just going to come through here and blitz you, I'm just God in that way. Well, he was God. We saw that last week from John 1, chapter 1, all through to verse 14. God, who is the Word, became flesh and did what? Dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of what? Of truth. Yes, they were right. Only God can forgive sins, yes, but Jesus himself was God. And he said, your sins are what? Forgiven you. The true physician, as God, goes to the root, friends, of the disorder. Something I want us to see, contemplate this morning. The root does not implicate, does not touch on individual sins. How did sickness and disease, ailments, infirmities, how did all of that come into play in the world?
In the fall, the curse.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
That's it. Just like that's how sin and sickness entered in, was the fall of man, the curse. We're all born into sin. So Jesus dealt with the curse problem, the sin problem, because he became the curse. He became our sin, paid the penalty for it, and then sickness and life and eternal life and all of that has been dealt with for the believer.
Hallelujah. Sin, friends, is the root and the basis. From Genesis 3. Thank you, Suzanne, for that. Is the root, the basis for all sickness. Because when that happened, as far as mortality in the human race, sin in the human race, it took root, and then death, Bible says, death passed upon all men for all what? Had sinned. Based on one man's transgression, based on one man's sin, based on one man's choice, mortality began, and a mortal body in a fallen world became subject to the impact of sin and the fruit thereof, and the corruption thereof, and the decay thereof. If we understand sickness as a root, if we understand sickness as a root, as a byproduct, as a root of sin itself, then we can begin to see that dealing with that root brings about fruits of righteousness, which also implicates, touches on healing that results. We're going to look at scriptures that just flesh this out. And just before we do, one more verse from Mark 2, and then I'll just open this up as it relates to us directly. As those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and what? Walk. He posed that to them, which is easier? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and do what? And walk. Which is easier to say? Why did he underscore that as easier?
Both.
Sorry, Holly?
Oh, both is supposed to be easy, even though he knew he was going to die a miserable death. That wasn't easy, but he was obedient. So I guess I didn't understand the question.
Okay, and we're just gonna amplify it and just clear it up real shortly. No problem, Holly.
Leah. Saying
all encompassing.
Okay, all encompassing. And then what's, thank you. So what's the general, what comes to light then in that regard? Which is easier to say? As far as sight, as far as seeing, as far as understanding.
Because when you say your sins are forgiven, that's not, you can't see that. Like, whereas you say walk, that's something that somebody's actually going to see. If it doesn't work, then, well, I guess I couldn't walk. So just say your sins are forgiven, it's more supernaturally.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you, Gil. So, as far in human contemplation, just in general, just as we're general talk conversation, for me to say, oh, your sins are forgiven, is easier because what? The immediate effect of it, you can't necessarily see. But when it comes to the aspect of healing, or to say, okay, lame guy, get up, take up your bed and walk. Now, a lot bears on that because when I say that, then it becomes almost immediately apparent whether, okay, does that occur or doesn't it occur? As far as in the realm of senses, we can quickly what do what concerning that? We can see that. And so immediately we can make a judgment to say, okay, yeah, this is the case. I just said all of that to just say this, and we'll delve in there real quickly now, friends. This is why most times it's sometimes easier to be able to say, yes, based on what Jesus did on the cross, I'm forgiven. And we can relate with that than to the aspect of saying, oh, by his death, by his cross, by his stripes, I am healed. It's sometimes easy to say, oh, yeah, forgiven, can believe for forgiveness. Oh, you know, in whom we have redemption, Ephesians 1:7. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, and we can take that to heart. But sometimes when the word says, oh, by his stripes, you were healed as of a past tense reality. There can be a kind of struggle to not only receive that, but then to also see that manifest in our lives. That said, friends, in a nutshell, a proper underscore, as I started in the beginning, of understanding forgiveness and how it tallies, how it relates with healing, helps us tremendously in seeing the truth that you are healed expressed in your life or evident in your life. Look at verse 10. But that you may know, Jesus speaking, that the Son of Man has what? Power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and what? Go to your house. Here is forgiveness in action, friends. Here is forgiveness in motion, friends. This is what it looks like. Healing manifested. This is what forgiveness looks like. In manifestation, in motion. Healing manifested. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power, has what? Authority on earth. He says, what I say to you, to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and walk. This is the show. This is the expression. This is the evidence. Rise up and what? Walk. And immediately, what happened? He rose up, took up his bed, and walked.
I just find it interesting because it's possible he never walked in his whole life, but he just knew to go, and he went when he was told. That's an act of faith.
That's an act of faith, and which is why I said at the start, friends, that I don't believe that he was a bystander as it pertained to faith. He was invested. He was vested in this whole occurrence, in this whole happening. I don't be surprised if he said, you know what, guys, you got to get me there today. Oh, buddy, we can't get through the prayers. He said, well, we're going to get through one way or the other. I'm not going back on this pallet, on this bed or whatnot. We got to get through. Yeah. Let's do this. There's no tomorrow about this. We're talking about a now manifestation. I'm talking about a now healing. I'm talking about a now resolving of this situation. Is that our stance in most cases, friends, to say, look, I don't care how long this thing has afflicted me. Jesus. High blood pressure, arthritis, whatever it is, a cancerous growth, whatever, an injury or something resulting from that, whatever it is, to say, look, in the now situation, this is my stance, this is my conviction. You've got to go. You don't belong here. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I have God, I have his spirit residing on the inside of me. I'm his habitation. go in the name of Jesus. But it's based on, do you understand who you are? Do you appreciate who you are? Do you have understanding of the authority that you wield as a believer in Christ Jesus and possess now? Not what you're going to possess something in the future or in the sweet by and by that you do, that you possess, that you have now. Here is the expression of forgiveness, healing. And so, friends, if sin has been forgiven, the power of sickness definitely in or over your life and your body has been broken and is defeated. If the root is dealt with, and this is what I want us to see, need us to see, to understand, to appreciate, and to get, then that hold or the effect of it in your body, in your life, in your heart, in your mind, that thing has been smashed, rendered null and void concerning you, destroyed. But you need to know this.
So it kind of raises a question. If all sickness and disease is a result of sin, is it my personal sin or somebody else's sin or a corporate sin that Adam left us with?
Which is something we touched on as far as from Genesis 3, and then we'll see also from the portion we're about to get into right now, scriptures that we're going to look at.
Jesus said your sins are forgiven, so we kind of puzzle what was his sin that he had to be forgiven of.
So understand this, friends, in looking at the passage itself, it had specificity to the man on the context in which they lived at that time when Jesus walked the face of the earth prior to the cross. And so now we're going to look at scriptures, and that's why there's a parallel there, but I'm taking from the passage itself, we're not going to bring to application as it concerns us. And it's good to understand the dynamic in there, where the differences are and what correlates. I guess that's my time. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I need someone to read verses 4 and 5 real quickly. And as please go ahead and project as best you can. Isaiah 53, two verses in there.
Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole.
Hallelujah. Amen. Friends, you know, I'll say one or two things about this, but next week I'm going to go ahead and really dig deep and expose this, especially as it relates to the question that just came forward, as concerns sin and sins. Today I was talking about the importance of understanding forgiveness. This passage is key and is crucial. In your personal time, I'd love for you to just study this out. Get with the Lord. Pray about this. Prayerfully consider this. It is vital that we have an underscore of what this means and get revelation. Friend, this is a game changer in the aspect of healing, to really understand this and to get it. Amen? It's key. Let's look there again. Thank you, Gail, for reading. First thing I'm going to say, verse 4. Well, from 3 and 4, regardless, as we look at it, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. And that word grief, as read in Amplified and from the original, is the word that means sickness and disease, literally. Okay, that word griefs in the Hebrew, is the word that means sicknesses, is the word that means diseases. And that's why that is borne out in different versions. We'll look at a couple of them soon. And carried what? Our sorrows. And the sorrows from the Hebrew is the word that means what? Pains. And pains, and not just pain, both physical and emotional. Both physical and emotional. He bore. And there was reason for that, friends. It is vital. I'm not just saying this is, oh, okay, but where is the Hebrew? Oh, and then under the New, where is the Greek? As I said, this is borne out in different versions of the Bible. And when we read it in this way, in this light, and we meditate on the word in this fashion, by the time we look at it with Peter's revelation and insight from 1 Peter 2:24, it changes everything. And I don't need you to take my word for it. That's why I'm saying you as a person, as an individual, you delve into this. You study this out. You meditate on this. You prayerfully contemplate this and see what light the Holy Spirit gives to you and see what transformation occurs in your body as relates to that ailment, as relates to that infirmity, as relates to that challenge, physical or otherwise. Amen. Common English. It was certainly our sickness that he carried and our sufferings that he bore. But we thought him afflicted, struck down by God, and tormented. Another says, in fact, it was our diseases he bore. I'm saying this so that we can get a proper appreciation for what occurred on the cross. In fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered, yet we regarded him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by God. New American Standard puts it in this light. However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. And that just takes my heart and my mind to 1 Peter 2:24. It says it was our sicknesses that he bore. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and what? Made whole. Even when it comes to peace, the peace which results in there, that peace implicates, touches on, and relates directly to well-being. Being well. Wholeness. Wholeness. Thank you, Lord. As I said, I'm not going to amplify that or dig into it today, but we're going to do that next week. We're going to open this up. But something that is crucial as I close out for today, why this is important, if you can get and understand forgiveness, how that you are forgiven. God has forgiven you in and through Christ Jesus. You're free. You've been liberated. You've been delivered. You've been set free. How seeing this, how understanding this is crucial because it touches on your identity, how you see yourself. It touches on, oh, am I worthy? Oh, this healing, I've been talking about healing and manifestation for years. Am I in a place where, oh, I can receive this by way of manifestation? You need to see that we're there already. Open up our hearts and let healing manifest. That which is within, that which is on the inside, let it come to light in your walk. For example, God has forgiven you. You are forgiven. And there's scripture after scripture after scripture. We'll look at a few of those. Do you see yourself in that way as forgiven? Have you forgiven yourself? In different aspects, in different areas. Why is this important? Because sometimes if I haven't forgiven myself, if you haven't forgiven yourself, then we carry an image, a self-image of ourselves that does what? It limits us. It's like we're in cuffs or in chains or whatever it is. In spite of what Christ did, which is real, which is true, and which is yours already. But you don't get to live it out. You don't get to enjoy that because somehow you still feel that you're not worthy. Or it must be something you did. Yet, all of that he bore on the cross. And he didn't just bear it, he took it away. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Can we rise, please? Is there anyone here today? Let's rise. Please. Let's get into those scriptures, those portions of scriptures I highlighted. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, 24. Do not say to yourself, oh, I've been through this over and over and over again. Oh, I've read this through 1,000 times. Do not say that to yourself this morning, friends, as you go into this week. Let's go ahead and just pray in the Spirit some at this time, please. Just go ahead and just magnify the Lord. Just pray in the Spirit some. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is anyone here with a challenge this morning, health-wise? I'd love for you to just take this bold step of faith and just make your way to the front, just to the side here, my left here, and just you're expecting for something as a concerns manifestation in your body or possibly in your heart as it relates to healing. Take advantage of this at this time. The Holy Spirit is here. Father, I thank you. Give you praise. Every weight brought into this room right now is dropped off completely. It dissipates completely. It becomes a thing of the past in the name of Jesus. Every obstruction broken down, every hindrance nullified, cast off completely in the name of Jesus. Every infirmity, by whatever name that is named right now, dies to the root, is cursed and dies to the root. Right now, in the name of Jesus, completely uprooted and rendered null and void by the power of the Most High and in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for freedom. It is for freedom that you set us free, and we're free indeed. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for manifestation of healing in this place. Thank you, Father, for hearts touched, changed, transformed by the power inherent in your word in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the victory. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, we'll be at the service 10:45. Thank you so much for your time and your heart. Keep walking in victory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.